blessings of life. Tonight we're talking about spiritual powers. We're going to be working with spiritual powers. You notice the energy from the chanting takes you into deeper states of consciousness, helps you to transcend things that may be tying you up out in the world of form. Take you inwardly and upwardly. Blessings of light. We started out this 10-class series teaching you one of the first keys to your spiritual powers. And this was the Rainbow Bridge Meditation. The Rainbow Bridge Meditation is a simple visualization meditation process where you visualize red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, gold, white, crystal, and you stay within the crystal light, then you reverse the polarity and come out when you're first doing the bridge. But after you do the bridge for a while, you should just go up. Go in ascension, go to the crystal plane. Go in the white and go in the crystal light. It is God's great and Holy Spirit that bestows the spiritual gifts upon people. And so this is a way of tuning your energy from the outer world to the inner world. The next tool we give you is the breathing technique, where you balance your breath to bring your polarity balance into being. That was a simple breath of... where you balance the breath, which balances the two currents in the body, the male and female polarities in the body. We also gave you a breath of fire that you could pull yourself into the body in consciousness in the morning simply by putting your hands on your hips, putting your head back and breathing in the breath of fire as so. All the way in, all the way out, that's all the way to the base of the spine, all the way out, all the way into the base of the spine, all the way out. What this does, it gives the respiratory system, the circulatory system, the organs, the body movement, causes those parts of the body and those areas of the body to be accelerated in energy. Tension being drawn all the way to the base of the spine brings the body all the way back into the body, your spirit body, into the physical body. We gave you the breath to control the mental way, which is 5, 5, 5, and 10. That's let all your breath out, hold for 5, breathe in for 5, let all your breath out, hold out for 5, breathe in for 5, hold in for 5, and breathe out for 10. You might be wondering why I'm going over these again for some of you, because these are the tools that you use to attune yourself to this inner consciousness and higher consciousness. And these are tools that you use to reach these higher fields of consciousness. Without using the tools, you wouldn't want to start building a house without having the proper tools to build the house. You wouldn't want to be trying to drive nails with an old 2x4 or something like that when it takes a hammer to do it. Well, the same way with your spiritual consciousness. Without meditation, without the ability to merge, you have no power. Without your ability to merge, meditation gives you the merging ability. It takes and gives you an ability to transcend the personality, the physical, emotional, mental realms, to come to the meditative state or at the heart center. And for them, the meditation goes in deeper to contemplation, to superconscious states, to spiritual states of consciousness. But until you have salvation, meaning salvage all your stuck attention physically, emotionally, mentally in your meditation and are able to be in the meditation aware that you're aware, you haven't reached the point of power yet. And so you must be in the meditation where you're aware that you're aware. When I'm reading, I have no body consciousness, I have no emotional consciousness, no mental consciousness of my own. I'm just aware of being aware of the other individual that's sitting across from me. I become selfless, desireless, helpless, hopeless, all of those kind of things when I'm sitting there. And that way I can be a clear reflection for the other individual so that there's none of myself gets in the way. Too many psychics, this is the psychic realm, and they get to this point in meditation to get up there and then they start putting their mental trips, their emotional trips, their physical trips on someone else rather than becoming a channel for the power and for the light. And so we are channels for the power. That's the way spiritual gifts come through. They are channeling that gift through. Whoever is doing that, they are a channel for the gift. Of themselves, they do nothing but open up. They quiet their mind and open their hearts so that this energy will flow through. Without an open heart and a quiet mind, you have turmoil going on inside, and whatever comes in gets mixed up with that, all those thoughts, and that's just like throwing everything into the mulligan stew. You don't know what has importance and what don't have importance when you have this type of consciousness where everything just keeps going in and get mixing up with everything else. And so there comes a point where you have to transcend your personality. Without this ability, you will not be able to read clearly. So it's the merging ability that we're talking about, setting the rhythm of the meditation. Meditating in the morning on the ascending currents to get the subtle awareness of ascending power. And when you are sitting in front of somebody, you can feel their energies arising. If you are looking for the greatest outpouring of energy, that is the meditation at noon. So that when somebody is telling you they're doing their best or they're pouring out most of their energy, you are sensitized by the planetary logos to feel this in the other individual because they're using that energy. They're using it to some degree, either wholly or partially. They're using that current, that energy that is on the planet. You're using life force. The life force is coming to this planet, so you are putting your life to something every moment. When we said meditate in the evening, that was to catch awareness of the descending currents so that you can know when somebody is going down in their energies instead of up. And so you were getting these three particular fields, and if you meditate at midnight, then you get the calm field or the study field, and you can tell when the individual's calm. So those are four energy periods. The rising energies in the morning, the greatest outpouring at noon, the descending energies at night, and then the stillness or calm of the midnight hours. And so those are the times to meditate for those sensitivities. So you are sensitizing yourself and attuning. You're attuning to this planetary logos, which everyone uses the power of this logos or this power that's on this planet. We're all breathing the air. We're all experiencing eating the substances here made out of the earth, the water, the fire, the airs, and the ethers. We also told you that psychic powers are developed, but spiritual gifts are given. You have to develop your psychic abilities by doing the visualization process of the colors. You are tuning your clairvoyant ability to read your fields and the colors in them, and starting to attune yourself to color awareness. And we talked about color awareness in this training as well. So you need to have this color awareness. You need to put in yourself in tune with it. We told you about the various sheaths of the aura. We said, and we did some reading and activated your sight, where you saw what you see outside in color reverses as it goes inwards. We looked at the orange cards, we seen blue inside. We looked at the red cards, we seen green. We looked at the green cards, we seen red. We saw how the reverse of polarity, color awareness, is in the esoteric field or inner field. So you have an outer consciousness, you have an inner consciousness, but you're the one that's beyond the two looking at those two. In order for you to read psychically, you don't have to take and pull out of these first three centers in consciousness. Psychic abilities come from your heart and from your soul energies, your psychic power, soul power. And so by the accumulation of your knowledge, you have a knowingness or an intuitional awareness. And when you take and transcend trying to figure things out and follow your heart, you become more psychic orientated. When you stop thinking, you stop doing all these emotional things, you stop acting out a bunch of things, you start getting more in the heart, coming from your heart, being understanding, knowing, open in the heart to receiving energies, then your psychic abilities come on. Psychic abilities are on the aggressive side, on the silver plane. And that plane must be polished all the time, because if you touch the silver flame and you don't polish it, it's just like touching silver, it turns black. And so it can turn black and become absorbent. Psychic powers are very jealous powers. They want all of your attention, all of your concentration, all of your observation, all of your meditative powers at that moment.
This is an active side of the field. The gold ray energies come from the spiritual side, and the reflective powers of the gold ray, as we talked about in the training, are subtle, and they don't take all this action that you have to put out for psychic powers. They are gifts of spirit, reflective abilities from the spiritual side or passive side. On the aggressive side, as we said, the flame of the silver creates a mirror in this effect. We said to clear our filament of our minds, to clear the mind. Now we have the clear. To reflect, we look off the silver, which is backed up by black. So it's black, silver, crystal. That makes the psychic mirror. The spiritual mirror is made clear of the filament of the mind. Clarity, backed up by wisdom or gold, with white backing up the gold. And so it goes crystal, gold, and white energies. And that's the spiritual mirror. So in the filament of the mind, if you clear this filament of your mind, you will create one of these mirrors within the consciousness by your attunement, either aggressive energies or passive energies. As I said, psychic abilities constantly take attunement, because they're involved with the changing world, which is changing, ever-changing, but never-changing. Spiritual powers are involved with the changeless, boundless, infinite, eternal world that never changes. Who can obtain psychic powers or spiritual gifts? The one that makes themselves a fit receptacle for it. The one that makes themselves a fit receptacle. Meaning you must come to these areas with an open cup, an empty cup, to be filled. If you go there and you're full, there's no place for this energy to go. If you have a gross consciousness, you scare away the subtler fields, or you overpower them or don't see them. It's the subtler fields that we get into to be able to read. We told you to concentrate upon your breath going in and out of your nose so that you would drop into the subtle field or the subconscious mind and get into the autonomic nervous system. In the autonomic nervous system, not only is all your habit patterns and conditioned reactions in the subconscious mind, but also the eye of your dreams, the dream state. So those that are concentrating on their breath might find themselves having clear dream states where they don't have any dreams, or their dreams are very vivid, one or the other, because of dropping down into the autonomic nervous system. Now, we talked about these various nervous systems, these energy systems. The first system that we talked about was the chakra system. This is the nervous system, and where these flowers are is where the nerve ganglia, you have cross sections at that particular point in the body. Comes off the spine, goes around or through the body, and it has a cross section there. Where it has a cross section, remember the nervous system here, it's radiation off of the nervous system is etheric. It's light, heat, light, and light eaters. And so this radiation off of the nervous system here, and heat, light, and light eaters, take, and where the cross section has a glowing disc of light, or what they call a chakra. Chakra means gold, glowing disc of light. So at the base of the spine, they have a glowing disc over the spleen, over the navel, over the heart, throat, brow, and crown. These are the seven centers that we're studying here. There are other centers, as we told you. There's the sucral center, the primal fourth chakra, the ulna center, and the other centers in the body. These are called the sun chakras. There's also 22 moon chakras, the palm chakras, the feet chakras, the ear chakras, the eye chakras. There are chakras for the metabolism and for sun and moon here, for metabolism and for purity of water. And there's 22 chakras over the body, the knees and the elbows as well. All of these have cross-sections of nerve ganglia in the subtle field, or what's called moon chakras. Well, these particular ones we've been studying is the sun chakras. And so you can see you're just beginning to get into this energy, and you'll get into it deeper as you move into the training. We told you to visualize red at the base, then you're orange at the spleen center, and yellow at the navel, green at the heart, blue at the throat, indigo at the brow, and violet at the crown. As you were going up the chakras, that's your meditation. That is to sensitize each one of those chakras to that particular vibration and stabilize it, so that it is stabilizing that vibration, not fluctuating. Because in each one of these levels, it has all of the other levels in. You have a physical, a physical-emotional, a physical-mental, a physical-psychic, physical-creative, physical-spiritual level. And a lot of people get up into one of these higher levels on one of these planes and they think they've reached spirituality, but they've only come to the top of that particular level. Some get intellectual spirituality, some get emotional spirituality, some get physical spirituality, some get psychic spirituality, some get creative spirituality, some get individual spirituality, and some get spiritual spirituality, you see, depending on what level that they're operating at. So spiritual power comes at the top of all of your centers, not just in the crown center. If it didn't reach the other levels, you wouldn't be able to be aware of those other levels. And so in each one of these levels, to the degree you've opened this chakra and became aware, that's how much awareness you'll be able to draw into it when you're sitting in front of another individual. Remember, we taught you to open your heart and your brow center when you were reading. And you could stabilize all of your chakras so you can sit in front of another individual with all of your chakras open and receptive so that you can draw in the strata and interpret it in your consciousness and in your mind. There's no distance in mind because there is only one mind, and by association you use that one mind. We talked about the sympathetic, and there's an ET missing in both of these, as I had pointed out, sympathetic and parasympathetic levels. The autonomic system was the one that took care of the organs, that took care of all those things in the body, like the organs, the brain, the heart, the bladder, the gonads, the colon, the kidneys. All of these things are taken care of by the autonomic nervous system. And so when you drop down into the autonomic nervous system by concentrating on your breath or your heart, you're getting into this area of consciousness. You should be able to pick up where people are emotionally, hooking that with the emotional language, the tones of the voice, which is emotional language. We hook that up with the emotional language and concentrate on our breath. As we're aware of another individual, we pick up a lot of emotional strata. We can tell how they feel, what kind of dreams they have, how they would act in certain situations because of that feeling and sensitivity from getting into that level of consciousness. So don't be fooled by the simplicity of the exercises. They are to reach these deeper, simpler states. You want to keep it simple spiritually. KISS, you know, KISS, keep it simple spiritually. This is the autonomic nervous system as it splits to the sympathetic and parasympathetic level. Now the gross nervous system picks up what the senses are aware of. The autonomic picks up what the emotional levels are aware of, and that next plane. The sympathetic picks up the mental waves, reading the mind, reading the mental waves, picking up the thoughts. So you have to be in a sympathetic level of consciousness to pick up thought form, pick up vibrations. When you're clairvoyant, you'll see the thought form, but when your sympathetic is there, you'll not only see it, but you'll hear it. And when the other individual thinks of it, you'll get it too at the same moment so that you could even say it with them, as they say. In the parasympathetic level, this is the spiritual part of the nervous system. Here's where we regenerate power, our regenerative power, where we rejuvenate the body, where we get younger, where we start concentrating on the life side of our aura rather than on the death side of our aura. We told you that this vagus nerve going from the heart to the head here had a great part in the raising yourself to spiritual consciousness, because it's from the heart center where the soul's housed, or the heart or psyche force is, that must be lifted over this antakarana or rainbow bridge into where the Atman or spirit body, monad or light body, is housed in the center of the brain. And so the soul must be lifted to spirit. You must surrender your soul to God. You must surrender your soul to spirit energies at one point in your life in order to reach this power of the spiritual gifts. And so you should begin to surrender upwards to God within you, that divinity, that spark of the original atom that controls all of the atomic structure and all of the other atoms in the body, that can decipher the DNA code that's in the light body structure. Because in the Atman, conscious realization of your DNA or your light body structure, the code or message or mission, as some call this, You learn your mission by touching into that field. So you have to go clean to the parasympathetic level to release your light to the consciousness that you may perceive what your mission is here. So once you find that out and you start moving along it, that is the line of least resistance. When you, this not only has the coding for your body, the height, and everything that you're going to have in your body, but also it has the degree of your emotional power, your mental power, your spiritual power. It tells you all of those things too as you release the vibration of the DNA over the nervous system. This releases, moves over the nervous system up through the chakras, and then as we said, in consciousness, you perceive what you are aware of. In consciousness, you have perception of awareness. And so it comes in through the senses, it comes in through the mind, it comes in through the emotional levels, it comes in through the psychic levels, it comes in through your creative levels, your individual and spiritual levels, and in consciousness, you become aware of whatever's being picked up by those levels. Most people are operating in the world in the first three centers. One, two, or three of these centers. One, two, or three. They're physically, mainly physically orientated in their energies. And so their whole world is predicated upon the physical universe. And you've seen some people that are strictly physical. They can't think for themselves. They don't have any emotional energy of their own. They have to get joy from somebody else. Somebody else has to tell them to do it. We call these people idiots. they may have strong volition, but they have ideation to carry them through. So they may have volition power, but they just are like brutes. You see them on Saturday night wrestling around on the TV. Those are idiots. And so they don't have any consciousness of the higher energies. They're very defensive. They're very animalistic in their energies. The people that are caught in that base center, as we remember, going through the chakras and saying, these people protect their surroundings just like an animal protects their surroundings. Don't touch my food, don't touch my clothes, don't touch my. And so they run around in that kind of consciousness. And that's the lowest center, and that's the farthest away from spiritual consciousness you can get. That's completely egotistic, animalistic man. Animal man is still here when he's got emotions and physical body. Some people, they can't think for themselves, but they got a lot of emotional energy, got a lot of strength in that physically, but they always have to have someone to tell them what to do, or they have to have some system, otherwise they wouldn't know what to do. These are our factory workers, things like this, guys down in the gas station, those things where the people, they've got the emotions in that, but they have to work with somebody else's system, they couldn't figure it out themselves. They have to work for somebody else. And so you have people like that are seeking to reach the higher energies. These are the laborers and things like that in the world. That doesn't mean that they can't think. It means that they can't think in the realms where they can interact with other people because they are dependents. You see, they're still dependent people. They're still dependent on society. They're still dependent on someone else. A lot of these kind of people end up on welfare and those kind of things. They end up going to a lot of psychics, a lot of spiritualists and everything, and saying, what's going to happen to me? What shall I do now? And all these kind of things. They can't figure it out for themselves, you see. They're not getting the information and putting alongside of their consciousness. They're being led. The next level is those intellectuals. They've got a lot of systems. They've got science. They've got all these kind of things. You're still not in human. And this is all animal man consciousness at this point. Even though it's a thinking animal at this point, that's all they are, it's a thinking animal. They don't believe in psychic fields, they don't believe in anything, they don't smell or taste or hear have an experience with by touching. They have to have their senses tell them. If they don't feel it, if they don't think it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. They're independent at this point. These first points, they're dependent. This one's an independent center. This is when they start getting independent in consciousness. Because they get all these systems. But see, all of those words and everything, you can remember the whole Bible, but unless you put it into action, unless you've done something, all this intellectual reciting that goes on doesn't have any power unless it comes from the heart, unless the individual knows it in their own life. So you have to be careful of these kind of people, too. So in these first three centers, these are not spiritual centers. These are personality-oriented and ego-centered of consciousness, and they deal with ego consciousness. You can't read from those centers If they are mixed up, if they're going through problems in this, you will not be able to read clearly. These centers must be open and clear for you to read in the spiritual way. In the psychic way, some people have problems in those areas. They just push them down in their subconscious mind until they're done reading. When they're done and you start talking to them up, they come again. See, in the spiritual consciousness, there is a complete detachment. They're not bound by them. They're not reacting out of them. They're coming from what they know. They come from their heart. A full psychic person has a lot of heart, has a lot of power and energy coming from their psyche, because they can merge, they can feel, they can understand, they can send healing, they can do these kinds of things with the power. And a lot of them say, well, I don't know exactly where I'm getting this from, but I know this. I know this. It's coming from somewhere. I'm not sure where it's at. This is just psychic impression, psychic reading. If they say, I don't know, that means part of their heart center is not operating. And they're getting impression, but the ego says, I did the healing, I did the counseling, I did it, I, me, mine. And what happens to these kind of people, they end up getting sick, they end up having problems, they end up having worse off than they started because they fall in sympathy with another individual, take on that energy. Next thing you know, they're going through it. And you're saying, why am I going through this? I'm just trying to do good. That's their problem. How come I got it? See, because they merged with it, opened up their personality levels, and started to react out of it. They took it seriously. They took it emotionally. You see, serious in the intellect. They took it emotionally and got impressed by it. And the next thing you know, they're going through those actions because they put them in their own subconscious mind. They put them in their own consciousness. Their subconscious and conscious mind aren't blended together. They're still separate. That's why we told you in the morning when you get up, watch every move you make. When you're eating, eat. When you're tying your shoe, tie your shoe. If you're putting on your clothes, put on your clothes. If you're hugging your honey, hug your honey. You see? Do whatever you're doing. Don't be hugging there and think of something else, or, you know, or eating and doing something else. Be in the presence. Be in the now. That's the way you will start attuning yourself to the presence in an open state where you won't be reacting out of the past. This gives you an ability to blend the subconscious in the conscious minds to where you become aware of your habits and are able to, at a moment, if you need to change it, change it. You're able to do what is necessary at the moment you need to do it. You don't have to put down a thought, a feeling, an action to take an action, a feeling or a thought. You're open to action. You're open, ready, spontaneous action. If you have won the battle, come clean to your heart center. The psychic power also comes from some creative abstract levels of consciousness. So some psychics use abstract systems and principles and that to bring about their readings and these kind of things. They need some objective tool so that they can have the individual paying attention to the tool while they're paying attention to the individual. They can have a pendulum, they can have cards, they can have all these kind of things. They're only mediums between the higher and the lower self. They're not spiritual in their essence. They're only tools. They're only tools. Just like the meditation itself is not spiritual, it leads you to the spiritual. It's just a way to get there. The tools are just to be used to get to the point, not to say, these are it, you see. And a lot of people, they get into things like astrology. They go to talk to you. All they can talk is astrology talk. And they can't talk anything else. Or all they can talk is a certain kind of, they can talk about the pendulum. That's all they talk about all the time. Where they talk about this power, that power, this way or that way. And they, without those, if you take those tools away from them, they wouldn't have anything to say. That means that they haven't reached their heart center of that adaptivity, meaning being able to adapt the principle they're learning, to adapt it physically, emotionally, mentally, psychically, creatively. So all of these things are tools. Realize they're tools. Don't get bound in the tools. They're things that will help you get along the path. And someday, when you don't need those anymore, you put them down and you go direct. A mind that is open and direct learns the knowledge that's nearer than knowing. A mind that's open and direct learns the knowledge that's nearer than knowing. When your mind is open and direct, here's the knowledge. You're part of it, you see. When your heart is open, you're able to pick up in So the psychic may have the ability to have some visions, these kind of things, but they're usually working with symbols, symbology, because the silver path is an aggressive path. Active people, assertive people, aggressive people get symbols. People that are passive and open and receptive see persons, places, and things, see actualities. And so that's the difference. If you're aggressive, you're going to get symbols. And if you've been getting a lot of symbology, it's because of the assertiveness, the aggressiveness. If you are open and receiving, just like a TV screen picks up the signal that's coming, it doesn't change it. It just plays that signal through, you see. But in the consciousness of an active individual, it has to reflect in their consciousness, to, and it usually comes out as symbols. They see some kind of this and that. They don't see the actual thing happening. They see a square, a triangle. I saw a pyramid with a dog jumping over it, you know, and all these kind of things. And they say, oh, well, this means this and this and this, you see. And then they have an interpretation of that. So they have to work with interpretations. The spiritual individual doesn't work with interpretations. They are a clear, open channel bringing forth the power as it actually is. So it's actuality in that point. And so this is a difference in picking up energies. If you're picking up symbols and that, you need to surrender to your passive side. You need to become more calm. You need to become more open to the energies. And stay open. It isn't what comes in if you follow you, what goes out. And most people are there blocking off. Well, wait a minute, I want to see them about this later. I want to think about this. Well, don't tell me that now. You know, put it down, I'll go figure it out myself, you see. They're not going to let it come in. Then they're going to go home and they're going to play with it, you see. And all it does is get going down here, and there's a lot of alternatives coming in the thinking mind. And the next thing you know, they're scattered in their energies, and they're wondering, why am I always scattered? Why can't I keep this thing together? And those kind of people are always looking to get it together, you see. Because when you're together, when you are completely open and aware, you have got it together because you have no pulls to pull you off. Thoughts that pull you off, desires that pull you off, actions that pull you off, knowledge that pulls you off, ideas that pull you off. You are clear and open. So your sinners, you need to practice to be clear and open. When you're sitting there reading, there's no body. There's no emotions. There's no mind. You're a reflective power. You are the soul open there, receiving impression and talking from what you know, what you're seeing. You walk with your heart, objectivity, and your brow, detachment. Objectivity, a witness. Detachment is a witness. Now, on these witness states, this is the first witness in consciousness. The first witness here is in the heart center. This witness witnesses... The first witness is the witness of objectivity. And when you've won this battle, you're able to look at the personality without reaction. When you've reached this point of objectivity, you're able to watch actions, watch people go through emotions, watch them go through their mental things, and you don't react unless you want to react. You have self-control. That's how you know you're at the objective level, when you have self-control. That's the key of objectivity, and that's one of the powers of the first witness. Self-control and objectivity. And how you get this? By watching your mind, watching your emotions, watching your body. When you're in meditation, watch those patterns. If you can't still the mind, you better learn the patterns of it so you know when other people are putting thoughts on you. When they're sending a thought into your thought stream. And when you can see your pattern and the rhythm of your thinking, then if another rhythm comes in or another thing crowds in, you will see out of harmony. You'll see it's not the truth for you. It's not your thoughts. It's not your thoughts that's coming in. People put thoughts on people all the time. And a lot of times, the thoughts you're acting out of may not always be yours. You may be acting out of what your husband thinks about you, or your wife, or your friend, or your mother, or your father, or some stranger, you see. And you may start acting out of other people's thoughts. So you need to watch your mind so you can see how your mind rhythm is, so that you don't start acting out of somebody else's thoughts, thinking it's you. The safest and clearest is to have clear thinking, meaning clear state of the thinking mind. There's no words going on, it is clear there. You now no longer are thinking in words. When you get to the point of reaching higher in consciousness, now you're being aware of color, light, sound, and motion. And you start looking at the world in color, light, sound, and motion rather than in words. Words are a lot slower than color, light, sound, and motion. That's much faster in awareness. So you start thinking as color words. So that's the first witness, the objectivity. The second witness is called, is here at the brow. This second witness in consciousness is called detachment. Detachment. And that's the ability to see from a detached state. To be an individual is the key here. You are an individual at this point, indivisible. You can't be split up physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. You can't be split because you've realized your individuality. Objectivity, you have self-control. Detachment, you have divine director, divine direction, the ability to direct from your divine state, from your spiritual consciousness, rather than from this other level. In the second witness, you have control of your creativity, your knowledge, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions. You've got control of the five lower kingdoms. In witness state, you only have control over the first three kingdoms. In this level, we get control over the five kingdoms in consciousness. So the second witness in consciousness is much stronger to get. Now, I noticed in the Bible it says, bring a witness. And what the Jehovah Witnesses do, they bring another person along. You see? But in you, you have a witness, a creator, and a doer. And you're to bring your witness in consciousness with you every place you go. You should be able to witness the situation. But see, if you are physically orientated, you're going to ask for another individual to come and watch. You see? If you're down in that physical level. So they took a spiritual law, and a lot of people do this. They take spiritual laws and try to act them out physically. The laws of spirit plane operate on the spirit plane. The laws of the astral plane operate on that plane. The laws of the psychic plane operate on that plane. Creative laws operate on that plane. Physical laws operate on the physical plane. You see? So there's laws for each plane in each dimension of consciousness. And you're not to try to put a mental law into action on a physical plane. Or a mental law into action on a spiritual plane. Or a spiritual law in the mental realm or psychic realm or one of the other realms. See these laws on the planes of their existence. Don't think there is only one. Well, that's really being here at the lowest state of consciousness, putting it in there's only one law or one plane of existence. You see, you have many selves, but you are one. You have many selves that you work through, the physical self, the emotional self, the mental self, the psychic self. But you're not those things. You are the one that is working through that. You're the actor, you're the emoter, the thinker, the knower, the creator, the individual here. And so you must come to this point of individuality. Now, a lot of people are looking for their individuality. They haven't found it yet. And what confuses some people is they're over here and they're one way with hubby. See, they're husband and wife, and they're acting one way. Then they go to work, and they act different at work. Then they go home and they see their mom and dad and they act differently there. Then they go out in the crowd and then they're acting differently there. And then they're going to some psychiatrist or some metaphysician and they're saying, who am I? Which one of these am I? You see? And then when the individual says, oh, well, then you're this one. And then they go out and try to be that one and they find that they're having problems in these other areas. And they keep switching around until they realize that they're not any of those, that they're the ones experiencing that way. They're the individual experiencing that way. You're an individual experiencing your body. You're an individual experiencing your emotions, your mind, your knowledge, your creativity, your individuality. Indivisible. Individual means indivisible. You can't be cut, you can't be burnt, you can't be destroyed in any way in this individual spiritual consciousness, or the power of your monad, or the power of your Atman, or spirit body, whatever you want to call that spark of essence, the spirit.
coming from this point. Another key is when you get to this point, just start seeing the blue pearl, the blue speck, the light. It'll come flashing out there and you go, oh, I see that. You see, you begin to get aware of these specks of light that are moving around. When this second witness comes on, cloud lights out of the side of your eyes, faces in the room, light around individuals, those kind of things all come on with the second witness. The first witness is feeling, merging, getting in and identifying and all these kind of things. But the true identity comes at individuality only. It's at home. I am that I am. You see, that spiritual self. And so that's the second witness in consciousness. The third witness in consciousness, the third witness is renunciation. This is the mystic's power. To reach this particular field, he must take and renounce. He's not only objective and detached, but he's renounced the world. You see, now we're getting to another state of consciousness. It's renunciation. I'm in the world, but not of it, is a renunciate statement. At this point of renunciation, you're one being. See, you're not just a soul, not just a spirit, but now you're a being. Not male or female, but you're a spiritual being. And you're experiencing through your imagination, through your universality, through your insights and perceptions, through your creativity, through your knowledge, through your descriptions, through your desires, through your actions, this self, master consciousness comes into being. One point of renunciation is self-mastering. Just like we have self-control with the heart, here at renunciation we have self-mastery, self-acceptance, self-understanding, self-discipline, self-realization, self-consciousness. The powers of the self are there. The powers of the self is there. This is the golden witness. The green witness, the violet witness, the golden witness. At this point, we get into the golden hue of life. Here we become masters of ourselves. Truly masters. Because now we're controlling our universal field. We're controlling our images, our ability of imagination, and we're looking through those fields. Instead of looking up at them, or reflecting off of them, we are looking through those fields from the self. And so renunciation is even a higher state. The renunciation, remember we said, renunciation isn't throwing everything away and saying, ah, you know, spitting it out. It isn't that kind of renunciation. It's being, experiencing those things, but not being bound by them, not being fooled by them, not thinking they are you. You're a being, giving life to that experience, to this volume, to consciousness, to this mind. You are the master of mind. At this level of consciousness, you are master of mind. There's only one mind, so you're the master of mind. It's the master of the mind that flows into everyone. But they move, everyone moves to this mind by their association with it. There's only one mind that belongs to God. It's God's mind. It's eternal, infinite, it's everlasting mind, the omniscient power of God. That which knows all things. You see. And when you're at this point, you know all things too. When somebody asks you a question, you answer it. You don't have to have any prior experience yourself. You never even needed to see it before. You know because God knows. You know. You're in God's knowledge now. You're in that type of awareness. This is a very high state of consciousness to be in. And most people, only 1% of the 10% that are spiritual get into that field. So that's a very high attainment when you get to that point. Remember that only 10% are up here moving in the spiritual field. 90% of the rest of humanity is down in these lower levels, and most of the majority of them is using these first three levels. And there's not that many people that are psychically awakened to their gifts and powers. They're only awakened to certain things that go on. They know that they go on, but they really don't know how they work or any of this. In this point of consciousness, you know how all these powers work. You know how these things work. That's why I say get the gold, you see. Go for the golden hue here. Don't get caught in the silver flame, because it'll keep you active, keep you down, take all of your time, all of your effort.
I remember when I was breaking dishes and bending spoons, I had to practice every day. I had to concentrate every day, and it took all of my attention, all of my concentration, all of my abilities focused at that point. Where here, as Renuncia, I can watch the world, watch these things come through me, as well as a channel for the energy and for the light. You're opening your channel, you're opening your crown, inflows the energy to your Atman, your spirit body, which reflects it through your soul as a world of form. Now the fourth witness in consciousness, see, we haven't got to the spiritual gifts yet, in the fourth witness of consciousness, here's where we get a point to come into, to reach this level. This is outside of the body. This is the Christos, or Christ light, the white light, consciousness, or the fourth witness is called illumination. Illumination. Here's where you have illuminating powers. Here's where you're illuminating. Here's where you enlighten people. Here's where you're enlightened. Here's where you can initiate people in the spiritual realms of consciousness. That comes here in the white. This comes once you've transcended the body. That's when you've been illumined to your spirituality, when you're no longer body conscious or form bound. See, some people get out of the body, but they think they're going to have a body that looks like this body, so they feel safe. So they form one of those around their substance, an astral form. Well, in the astral form, you don't really need a body that looks like this. You see, in the mental consciousness, you don't need a body that looks like this. You need the mental body. You see, and if somebody says, "Well, what's your mind look like?" You're not going to put arms and legs and hands and things on him. You see, if someone says, "What's your soul look like?" You don't put arms and legs and things like that. But some people do. They think that, you know, it's an individual saying they were a halo over his head or something like this. You see, and that's not the illumined state. When you are spirit and realize spirit, that is boundless, infinite, eternal, you can expand to infinity or concentrate on the smallest you do to the smallest you do to me, is the statement there. I'm the way, I'm the light, I'm the life, I'm the truth, you see. This is the statements of the Christ consciousness. This is when you reach this point. This is when you can really channel spiritual powers, when you reach yourself as a child of God. Realize you're God's child. You know, just as Jesus realized he was the Son of God, realize you're a son, a daughter of God, you are God's creation. And you no longer are bound by earthly parents, now you have a heavenly father, you have heavenly mother, you don't have earthly mother, earthly father anymore. You have transcended, you have ascended, you have resurrected the dead consciousness of your spirit and have brought it back to life and ascended. You crucified the personality, you hung it up on the cross. You've got rid of it, and you're now operating from this cosmic, beyond cosmic awareness, because you have the cosmic powers at your command. You have all the angelic forces at your command, all of the great powers of creation at your hand, all the elemental forces fall under your dominion, all humans fall under your dominion, all of the consciousness of mind falls under your dominion in the illumined state. You have the greatest illumination here when you realize you are the master of the earth and all it's on it and all those things, and it just isn't words. You are experiencing it. You're experiencing it. You're saying stop when the wind stops. You're blessing your plants, they're growing faster, those kind of things. You've accelerated, you get more life, more abundant. You by your blessing. In this point you're not, there's no more cursing. There's no more negative. There's no more dark self. There's only the light. The light self, the illumination, the light body, the light body, the light body. Here is the sustaining power. Your light body is the sustainer. Without the light, this body would move. Without the light, your mind wouldn't be illumined. Without the light, you'd have no emotions, no knowledge, without that light. And so at this witness state, you are in the consciousness of yourself as a child of God. Illumined. Awake, aware to it. The fifth witness state, is the witness in the crystal. It's when you're in the crystal and you are aware you're in the crystal, you feel the crystal around you. You're not here in your imagination visualizing it. You're in it. You're in spirit. There is no binding to you anymore. There is no form as a physical body in the crystal. When we say see yourself in the crystal and then see physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually perfect, it's sending from your spirit energy to each one of those bodies for perfection. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Now here's where the true spiritual powers and gifts come when you're in the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the Bible, it gives you the description of spiritual powers. The speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, the power of faith, the power of healing, the power of prophecy, the power of having words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You see, come to you. These are spiritual gifts of consciousness. This isn't psychic power where your clairvoyance is on, your clairaudio is on, your extrasensory perception is on. Those kind of things are all the power of your soul to be sensitive to those levels of consciousness that equivalent to the physical dimension. They're not that way in spirit because you don't need to see clairvoyantly, which is clear seeing through the soul. It's a soul's attribute to see. Here you're perceiving as God sees. If you're looking at someone, you're seeing them from all directions at the same time. That's the type of seeing that comes from that dimension. Clairvoyance can look into records, can look into those kind of things, but here you're actually in that experience, that individual's within you. I'm you, you're me, we are one, there's no separation. There's no separation because there's no body forms to separate us. It's like a drop in the ocean. When you're in this consciousness, it's like a drop in the ocean. This is the higher state where you are clear in the Holy Spirit. When you're getting into this realm, you feel like worshiping God. You feel like loving God because you know God is everything. So you feel like loving everything. You feel like everything is wonderful. Oh, wow. Beautiful, love you today. Hey, I see God in you. There it is. I see God everywhere. Saying, thank you, God, for coming tonight here to see God in action over here. I see God in action over there. There's no separation, you see. And we may be looking at bodies, but we're really talking about consciousness. Here we're in a consciousness. Here, self isn't just aware of self as you are in these lower fields. You are aware of yourself as other things, as all other things. I'm you, you are me, we are one. In that true identity of full spiritual power, your glory, glory, hallelujah, thank you, wow, it's a glorious feeling. It's an uplifting grace. It is grace. If you have to work for it, it's not grace. If you're working yet, it's not grace. If it's flowing, you're in the grace. And so work for the grace of God. And this field is the grace. That's a great spiritual power. A lot of people don't know what the spiritual powers are, so they don't know what to do with those. When you're in the clear state, you're not bound by any form. You see where form is going. You see where form is going. That gives you the power of prophecy. And you're not limited by this time period. You can see thousands of years ahead in consciousness. You can see the end of time, space, and circumstance in this consciousness. You can see the end of it. You see, because you're back in the spirit, that all of that is within. And you can look at it this way, like the atoms are floating in what? The world and the space and everything is floating in what? What is all this floating in? What's all this floating in? You see. And when we look at it, we magnify the body, it's just a bunch of little cells all touching, but there's nothing to hold them together. They're all floating together. This body is floating in a form, this form. And through transfiguration, you can change the form of this body. You see, when you're in these higher fields of consciousness, and you only have to go to the second witness to get transfiguration, you see. But it's out of the body to transfigure to spirit, to go to spirit. But you can change your body form in that transfiguration by your imagination, how you see yourself. How you see yourself. Start seeing yourself differently, and you will be different. You will be different. You see yourself getting younger instead of older. Why do you have to take that image? It's only an impression, and if you don't revitalize your body, then it'll get old. And I knew a woman that was in my class that was 16 years old, and her body was about 27. And she was a yoga teacher. And she could do more yoga than anybody that I knew, including myself. I couldn't keep up with her. And she could tie herself in little knots and everything. And she had a beautiful body. And She kept rejuvenating. She started rejuvenating when she was 65, but she did the process every day of rejuvenation. So you can see yourself getting younger instead of older. So she kept seeing herself getting younger instead of older. When are you going to get into that depth? When you get there. That's when you're going to do it. When you get there. It's not here looking at it. It's when you go there. You can take a look at all the brochures and say, oh, I'd love to go to Hawaii. Wonderful, Hawaii would be wonderful. And talk all about Hawaii. But to have a direct experience, you need to go there. You see. To have a direct experience of something, you need to go there. You can't stand outside objective and detach from it and experience it. You can only witness it. Experience means in it, as it. God experienced through His creation. His Spirit comes in and experiences through all other beings. And so you have a certain accumulated experience for this body, for these emotions, for this mind, for your psyche, for your creativeness, for your individuality. But that's only a small part of what you are. You're greater than this body. You're greater than anything that's projected into the world. You're much greater than that. You're Spirit in action. You're God in action. So when you reach this state of consciousness, the fifth witness. Now when you reach your God self, that's the seventh witness. The seventh witness is at the God self point of awareness. The sixth witness is at the God self. The seventh witness is to see as God sees. To see as God sees. To hear as God hears. To feel as God feels. And so you are one with that creation. You are animating the life of that creation at that moment. Your life. Your pure life. Consciousness. At that point. Purity. Perfection. As an individualization of God. As God experiences. So we're seeking to reach this higher point. You reach it through the Holy Spirit. You know, and you get into this deeper levels of consciousness. There you start loving God. There you start sending up your love. Bhakti. Love and devotion. Because on those returning currents, see, because God just will give you everything back. And He'll give it back many fold. Now, you might say, well, gee, what if I give a house? Am I going to get 100 houses in return? Well, if you give your house to God's work, you become part of God's family. So everybody in the family, they may say, well, come over and stay at this house. Or you can stay over at this house. You may not own those houses, because at that point you're not in owning. You're now in God's family, you see. So you can stay in many different places, you see. I found when I was in God's family, I can come over here and teach in this center. I can go over and teach in the Unitarian Church. I can go and teach in the Unity Church. I can go and teach in New Age Christian Church. I can go teach in the Presbyterian Church. I can go teach in metaphysical centers, psychic centers, in houses, any place. Now I've got all kinds of centers because I gave up my center. When you give it up, you get multiplied. You see? If you give up your family, then you get the spiritual family. Instead of having one or two sisters, now you've got thousands, millions of sisters and brothers. You see? Millions of sisters and brothers. Millions of mothers and fathers. You see? Millions of aunts and uncles. You get millions when you give up the one. You see what I'm talking about? So you haven't lost anything. You've only added to it. See, God doesn't take it away and say, okay, I'm going to take your family away and I'll give you this other one. No, it just expands you. Just expands you. You're starting to get universal consciousness now to see what it's like. Because in this field, you have to be universal in your consciousness. You have to see how you are one with God's creation. You can use everything in the world, but if it starts using you, you better get away from it. Then you've lost control. Because you have the dominion over the earth and all its own. If alcohol starts using you, then you're controlled by corn, or you're controlled by hops, or you're controlled by some vegetable, you see, or some weed, you see. And some people are controlled by this. Some are controlled by flowers, poppies, you see. They fell under the dominion of elemental forces, not, they lost their humanity. They lost their humanness. In the first three levels, we got animal man. In the heart, we've got human. In the throat and the butt, we've got spiritual human. Spiritual human consciousness. Animal human. Human. Spiritual human. Now you might say, well, gee, here's three and here's three, but this only one. The heart has three powers. It can look into the world. It can look into spirit, and it can be. See, it has